Calm sailing on a mirror flat sea. Statistical evidence that the stock market these days is positively boring. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. A key measure of investor anxiety has now dropped into the totally chill range. The so-called VIX, also known as the Fear Index, closed at its lowest level since 1993 yesterday, down nearly 7%, meaning fear is hard to find. Marketplace's Mariel Seguera likes to watch the VIX, which is based on what?
It's considered a reflection of how traders are feeling about the stock market in the short term. It works like an insurance market. It allows these traders to buy a sort of insurance on their portfolios if they're nervous the stock market's going to drop. So if a lot of them do that, the VIX will be high. And if they're less nervous, the VIX will be lower. And that's where it is right now.
Well, you know how the news media normally likes to make people nervous all the time. New fears today kind of stories. But this is the opposite. Why the calm? And what does that tell us about the economy?
It's hard to say. You know, traders may be feeling less nervous because corporate profits are up or because jobs numbers in April surpass projections. Maybe there's enthusiasm around politics. Robert Whaley, a professor at the Owen Graduate School of Management at Vanderbilt University, developed this index. And he says the low number shows simply that traders aren't particularly concerned about the near future, meaning the next 30 days.
Institutions are comfortable that nothing is going to happen in the short run, and whether it be through economic policies or new leadership or whatever it is.
But we know the stock market is not the same thing as the economy.
Mm-hmm. Mariel, thank you very much. Let's do the current numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. S&P and NASDAQ futures are up a bit. The Dow future now up 25 points, about 0.1%. It is National Teacher Day. Today and through the week, parents are shipping off their kids with thank you notes for teachers, maybe a coffee gift card in there. A Hermes scarf is always nice, but that would be too much. High turnover in America's largest occupation suggests teachers can use at least words of encouragement. About half of new teachers leave the profession within 5 years. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
Each year, around 500,000 teachers change schools or leave the profession altogether. That's according to the Alliance for Excellent Education, an advocacy group for at-risk kids. Its president, Bob Wise, says replacing those teachers costs more than $2 billion a year.
This is something no major corporation could tolerate if it were losing this percentage of highly skilled individuals every year.
In surveys, teachers cite low pay and a lack of respect and support for their dissatisfaction. Richard Ingersoll with the University of Pennsylvania is a former teacher who studies turnover. He says not all attrition is bad.
You want fresh blood coming in. You want those who are lower performers moving on. On the other hand, high levels of employee turnover have negative effects in a number of different ways,
including on student achievement, especially among low-income and minority students. Ingersoll says in poor urban schools, turnover can be more than twice as high as at more affluent suburban ones. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
One focus in Washington has been on corporate taxes and income taxes for individuals. Well, Marketplace contributor and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan has been doing some tinkering in his spare time. And before we get to his approach to all of this, what is the problem, Alan, you've been trying to solve?
The problem is that the lower middle income people who Trump supposedly supports pay very little in federal income tax. So if you cut their federal income tax, you're not really doing very much for them.
So if you're trying to help middle and lower income people, you have what you think is a better idea. What is this idea that you'd like to share with the administration, with anyone who will listen?
It involves changing the way that Social Security tax is collected. Right now, you and your employer pay Social Security tax on up to $127,200 of income a year. And most people don't come close to earning that much.
So change that.
Well, yeah. Something like 89% of the people pay more in Social Security and Medicare tax, including what their employers put in, than they pay in income tax. So if you say, okay, why don't we not collect Social Security tax from people on the first, say, $25,000? but raise the cap from 127,200 to say 160,000. That way, a whole lot of people who don't earn anything like $127,000 get a serious tax cut.
Just to remind people, there's a cutoff. There's an upper limit to your earnings that are subject to Social Security. You're saying move that up to pay for cutting what people have to pay in Social Security if they earn less money.
That means that some people will pay more, but most people will pay less, and you're cutting the tax that actually matters to them, and they're getting it every week in their paychecks instead of waiting for a refund.
All right, so you came up with this idea in your garage, Alan, but like me talking to a professional plumber before I start cutting into copper pipe, did you check this with a professional?
I did. I got in touch with the Center for Economic and Policy Research. They told me that 89% of taxpayers pay more in Social Security and Medicare tax, including the employer's part, than they pay in income tax.
Some people build tiny ships inside glass bottles. Others knit quilts. Alan Sloan does DIY tax policy. He's also editor-at-large for ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And so, you know James Patterson, the famous writer of books you see in airport kiosks? And you know Bill Clinton, the former president? They're teaming up to write a thriller to be called The President is Missing, due June of 2018. Rival publishers had to come together for this. One of the guys is signed to Knopf, the other to Little Brown. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Jake Gorski. I am David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.